Exciting. But that's okay. It's okay. I'm cool with that. So last week, let me kind of recap what we looked at last week. We looked at a teaching that I called Christian Weirdos, because to the world, Christians are very strange. We believe in something that to them sounds like nonsense. It doesn't fit into what they feel is scientific evidence. It doesn't fit into what they feel is logical or philosophical. And it just doesn't make sense unless you take the step to put your faith in Jesus. And then even beyond that, God works in a way that the world would never naturally do. Because God uses, and we looked at these more in depth last week, God uses the foolish, the weak, and the despised, or like the unpopular. And basically we saw that God uses the foolish, the weak, and the despised so that when incredible things happen through them, people know that it's God working through them. It's God's power displayed through them. And if you're like me, seeing that list, I'm super encouraged because a lot of times I'm really foolish. I'm like not strong at all. I'm weak. So when I see that God uses weak people, I'm like, yes, don't need to work out. And then it's a joke. That was a joke. Because it's talking more about like bravery and courage. And then like I'm not the most popular. So God doesn't need you to be famous or to be well known or to be super popular at your school campus. God will use you where you are and how you are and do incredible things through you, even if you are weak, foolish, and unpopular or despised. Now we move on to chapter 2. And the focus of this teaching today is sharing the gospel. So how many of you have ever been afraid of sharing the gospel? Put your hands up. Come on. Yes. Thank you. I know. Yes. We've all been afraid of sharing the gospel. And that's, I mean, there's discouragement and there's a spiritual side to it that beats us down. But there's also just always this feeling of being unprepared, unqualified, unskilled, like unable to make the gospel sound good. So oftentimes we're like, how about instead of telling you about the gospel, I just show you a cool video where someone uses spoken word, and then we like pull out our phone and we're like, he's so good. But we don't share the gospel. We just like send them Facebook links and stuff. But God's will for us is for us to actually go out and share our faith with the people around us. So today, Paul is going to take us under his wing, if you will, and give us some practical tips about sharing the gospel. He's going to talk about how we can sometimes feel like we have to have it all together before we actually go out to share the gospel. And he's going to show us how that is all wrong and not necessary at all. So Paul starts out with the backstory. He gives us a little bit of where he's coming from. So he goes back to the beginning, not all the way to the beginning, but when he first went to Corinth. And this we can read about in Acts 18. And we have to remember that when he first went to Corinth, there was no strong Christian presence at all. Like, there probably, if there was a few people saved, they weren't living out their faith at all, and they weren't involved in a actual church movement. So Paul went there specifically with the goal to lead people to the Lord. And you'd think, like, on the boat ride there, that Paul would be, like, training up for this. He'd be going through, like, flashcards of the gospel, like, how do I explain the Trinity? Oh, yeah, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Phew, I'm glad I know that. And then, like, how do I explain the rapture? Oh, yeah. But no, and or you'd think, like, he's ironing his lucky socks before he, like, goes out so that he's feeling confident and lucky, polishing his lucky egg. No? Okay. But we have these weird things, you know, when we have something big coming up. Like, does anybody, when you take a test, have that pencil that you always use? Like, your lucky pencil? Yeah, lucky pencil. Or, like, I used to take classical voice lessons, so anytime before I would sing, I don't do this anymore, but I would go through, like, 10 minutes of vocal warm-ups. So if you, like, walked in on me while I was about to sing somewhere, I'd be like, and doing like tongue warm-ups, like my tongue would be like way out, and it was weird. It's weird stuff, but I don't do it anymore, so don't worry. But instead, Paul is not, he's not like training up for this. He's not building up. He's not ironing his lucky socks, polishing his lucky egg. Instead, Paul determined not to focus on anything except the gospel, so that their faith would not be in people, not be in Paul's message or what or who or what Paul is, but so that it would be totally in the power of God. So before we move on to the focus of today and our study for today, I want to just go over the basic points of the gospel, because sometimes we can get taken away from those basic elemental points of the gospel, and that's what we need to focus on. So first, point of the gospel. Everyone deserves the punishment of sin. Every person. Everybody has sinned, and all have fallen short of the glory of God, so they deserve the punishment of sin. And we know that to be death. So first, everybody you know, even grandma, good old nice grandma, she deserves the punishment of sin. But Jesus, this is the second point, came to save everyone from the punishment of sin. So Jesus came for us, for everybody on this earth, with the specific goal of saving them from the punishment that their sin deserved. And then, the third point, and really the last point of the gospel, anyone who believes in Jesus will forever have eternal life with him, will forever have a relationship with him in heaven. So, everyone's deserving of sin. Jesus came to save people from sin, and if you believe in Jesus, you'll be saved from sin and live forever with God in heaven. It's so simple, and that's all we need. And if it's in the hands of the right person, it's so powerful. It's like pasta. You know what I mean? Like, everybody can make pasta, right? Yeah? If you can't boil pasta, that's bad. But everybody can make pasta. But not everybody can make good pasta. And not everybody wants to eat everybody's pasta because they're not good at it. They're not good at sharing it. They're not good at spreading the power of Italian pasta. And so, if you get a good chef and at a good restaurant or a good, like, Italian grandma who, like, makes her own pasta, ooh, that is pasta in the hands of the right person. And you will love that. But if you get someone who's inexperienced and trying to make pasta look good, but they don't even know how to cook pasta, it's not going to taste good. So, today, Paul is going to take us, like a coach, or like a sensei, or like a five-star chef, taking us under his wing, under his mentorship, and he's going to show us what is needed to effectively share the gospel with anybody, anywhere, at any time. So, we're going to look at two main points. First, I don't know why I use my pinky, but I do. First, two things you don't need. So yeah, that's what we're going to look at first. Two things you don't need when you share the gospel. And then one thing that you do need. Those points are kind of backwards. Normally I do like one, two, three. But we're doing two things you don't need and then one thing you do need. So yeah, if you're taking notes, you can jot that down. That's like the outline of our points today. So first, two things that you don't need. And in verse 1, Paul says, "When I came to you, I did not come with excellent speech." So the first thing that we do not need is fancy words. And this is something that Christians need to apply to their lives, because we have so many fancy words. Like when we go and hang out together, we call it fellowship. And people are like, "What in the world is that? I get that fellowship is an important thing and it means something different than just hanging out. But we can just use the word hanging out and it means more to Christians, but they understand. And we have the, like, grace and peace and mercy. These aren't words that someone's, like, throwing out at the gas station commonly. You don't hear someone like, "Oh man, it was such a day filled of grace." No, it's like Christians have all these fancy words. But in verse 1, when Paul says excellence of speech, basically what this means is something that will make you sound like an expert. It's words that will make people trust you more. Like advertisers will use it a lot. They'll use words that make them sound trustworthy so that you go out and buy their product and that you think, so you think it's good. They'll use like a lot of numbers so that you think it's trustworthy. And we do it a lot too. Has anybody ever written a paper and then once you're done writing it, you go back and like right-click on it and use all the thesauruses to change the words? You know what I'm talking about? So instead of like just a plain adjective, like it was good, you use like some other adjective, like the experience was excellent. And then you think it's going to make you sound better, but I recently learned that in like college essays, if you do that, you sound dumb, which is pretty funny. But so I don't do it anymore, but in high school and junior high, that was what I did. I'd like get it written out and then use words that I never ever would have used in my life, but I felt like it would get me a better grade, and so I did. And this is the same idea. Using fancy words to be looked up to so that you get a better grade, so that people think you're smarter or more trustworthy because of these big words you're looking for. And it's basically because we don't want people to think that we're just crazy. So we'll use it when we get ready to share the gospel, because we want people to understand that we use these incredible fancy words, and that we use these words that are hard to define, kind of ambiguous or not really clearly understood. And we do it just so people will look up to us, so that they'll take us seriously. So when we use a word like the Trinity of the Gospel of Christ is magnificent and holy and washes me white as snow as if I am upon the winter morn, like, yes, that sounds smart, but it just causes people to take us more seriously and look up to us. And Paul is saying, we don't need these fancy schmancy words when we share the gospel. Basically, because we don't want people amazed by us. We don't want people amazed by the man or the girl or the guy, the dude, the dudette, who is sharing the gospel. We want people to be amazed by the power of God, and that is by just sharing the simple gospel with them. So the first thing we don't need is fancy words. You can love the dictionary, and you can read it all day, but when you go and share the gospel, forget about those fancy schmancy words. Just use what is normal to you, what is common to you, what is common to the average American English speaker. So the second thing we don't need is also in verse 1, right? Yeah, verse 1. When I came to you, I did not come with wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. So the second thing we don't need is high intelligence. And when they say that word wisdom, you have to understand who he's speaking to. He's speaking to ancient Greece. This would have been about 400 years after Plato, Aristotle, Socrates. So when you said wisdom in ancient Greece at that time, people said logic, philosophy. If it doesn't add up in the mind of a human being, it is not wise. So when he says wisdom, he's not talking about like Solomon's wisdom. He's not talking about Proverbs, like the wise man goes out early. No, he's not talking about Christian wisdom or spiritual wisdom. He's talking about philosophical wisdom that ancient Greeks would have established. Socrates, Aristotle. And this would have been a popular thing in Greece. So if you weren't smart, if you weren't wise, if what you said was not logical to their understanding, it went in one ear and out the other. Because you weren't smart. And when we go and share the gospel, we want to be smart, right? We want people to know that we know what we're talking about, that we're experienced, that we look super smart, that we've spent hours studying the simple gospel of Christ so that we could explain it clearly and in depth. And I think if we're honest, to an extent, everybody wants to be smart. That's so often why we lie. Like, You're picking your nose and then someone sees it and they're like, were you just picking your nose? No, I don't pick my nose. Only weirdos do that. Like, they don't want us to think we're weird. Or like, if you bombed a test and someone asked you about it, how'd you do on that test? Oh, so good. It was a piece of cake. Right? Like, I mean, sometimes we're just straight up honest. I bombed it. But a lot of times when we lie about how we did on a test or something we've done, it's because we want to look smart. We don't want people to think that we're stupid. Or when we laugh at someone because they don't know something that we know, like, oh, get a load of this guy. He didn't know Krypton was actually a chemical or a element on the elemental table. And then we're making fun of him because we think they're dumb. And we want to be smarter. Like, so humans have this desire to be smarter than others. We want people to know that we're smart, that they can look up to us. And though Christianity is filled with some incredibly complicated subjects, like the Trinity, that is one of the most complicated things in the world for any human being to ever understand. No matter how much you know about it or how long you study it, it will always be complicated. Eternity, human minds do not get that. It doesn't make sense to them. Even from an ancient Greek philosophical perspective, eternity is outlandish. How do you grasp that? How do you grasp something that had no beginning and has no ending, but is still going? How does that work? Or creation. Creation is a really hard thing to grasp. Do you just believe it at face value? Does it require more understanding? Does it require scientific understanding, historic understanding, religious understanding? It's a complex thing. But the gospel is very simple. The gospel, think about it, it has to be so simple for a child to understand it. So the gospel can't include things like eternity. It can't include things like the complexity of the Trinity or creation. The gospel needs to be simple enough for a child to understand it, because if it wasn't simple enough for a child to understand it, then if you need to understand the Trinity and eternity and the punishment of sin before you can understand and receive the gospel, you probably will need a PhD in theology to be a Christian. Like, and that's absurd. Nobody would think that. So, Paul is saying, when we bring the gospel, we do not need those super duper complicated subjects. We do not need these things that are going to make us sound smart. These things that are going to make us sound qualified and smarter than the next guy. All we need is the power of God, and to display that power of God and show that it is not ourselves. We are not the intelligence of the gospel. The gospel is intelligent on its own. The gospel stands on its own, and all we need to do is step far enough away from it so that its beauty and its power can amaze others. So as we come to a close, we need to look at the one thing that you do need, and this is probably the most important. The high intelligence and the fancy words, yeah, you don't need those. But what you do need is most important. And this is gold. This is golden. So the one thing that you do need is the power of the Holy Spirit. In verse 4, Paul says, "In my speech and in my preaching, were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power." So, when we prepare to share the gospel, it does not need to be this big, fancy, high intelligent thing. When we look at ourselves and get ready to share the gospel, we do not need to feel unskilled, unqualified, because all of us can say, "I was once in sin, deserving of death. Jesus came to save me. I believed in him, and now I have a relationship with him and will live forever." And that sounds so simple to us. And that's the thing. Simplicity is not weak. Simplicity is not weakness. But if we allow simplicity to do what simplicity can do, if we allow the gospel to stand on its own, to make the impact that it can make, it will be a very, very powerful thing. The gospel, it can stand up on its own. It does not need anything from us to make it look better or to sound better. You know, it's like beautiful paintings being displayed in a museum, in an art gallery. When you do that, you don't paint the walls bright wet red. You don't bring like a musical guest in that'll draw people in so that people are really amused by this painting. No, if you're displaying a painting, there's probably gonna be, if there's music, it is gonna be just violin, maybe a little bit of cello, and it's going to be in the corner. No one's going to see it. And if there's, like, there's not even going to be, like, plants in the room. All that is going to be in there is a white wall and that painting. And that is what we need to let the gospel be. We just need to be the white wall that that is displaying this beautifully simple thing. We don't need other things to get in the way, to take away from that. Because when we bring our high intelligence of the Christian faith and our fancy words that are hard for anybody else in the world to understand, we're bringing, it's like bringing a rock band into an art gallery. It takes away from that beautiful, simple painting. And why is this important? Paul tells us in verse 5, he says, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And that is so simple. Like, I don't even need to explain that. Like, the reason we don't bring fancy words, the reason the gospel doesn't need intelligence, is because people's faith is not in you. People's faith should not be in you, and it should not be in the way that you speak and in how smart you are. Now, this, of course, isn't to say, and Paul, I believe in the next verse, is going to go on to say that there is a place in the church for wisdom. There is a place in Christian faith for incredibly smart people. But no matter how smart you are, no matter how well you can defend the faith of Christianity, when you share the gospel, it needs to be simple. Paul, a man who was about to go kill a whole bunch of Christians on a road, was pulled over by a physical Jesus whom he saw so that he could become an actual apostle. And this incredibly smart man who knew the Bible front ways, back ways, and went on to write like 14 letters to different churches and plant churches all around his known world, comes knowing nothing but the gospel. That is crazy to me. One of the smartest minds in history, like not just in Christian history, but Paul was one of the smartest men to walk the earth, because he uses arguments that in logic and in philosophy that we still look to and say, that is incredible. He defends faith in ways that ancient Greek philosophers would have said, okay, that is logical. That makes sense to me. Yet he comes knowing nothing but the simplicity and the power of the gospel. So, what do we take from this? And I just want to close with a couple points of application. So, to those of you who are focused on those fancy words and the high intelligence, you know, I can't share the gospel yet because I don't quite understand creation and eternity. You need to take a chill pill. And that's what Paul is saying. You, the moment you became a Christian, you were ready to share your faith with people. And if you don't feel that way, Paul is saying that you are wrong. You don't need high intelligence. You don't need to understand the Trinity forwards, backwards, sideways. You don't need to understand the rapture, pre, post, mid, whatever. All you need to understand is that you were once in sin, Jesus came to save you, you believed in him, and now your life is being changed every single day. That is all you need. So if you're focused on getting these fancy words and high intelligence so people take you serious, forget about it. People don't need to take you serious. People need to take the gospel serious. Of course, be respectful and everything to people. It doesn't mean you can be like a goofball, but let the gospel be simple. Let the simplicity of the gospel speak for itself. And then to those who are too afraid to share their faith, let this be an encouragement to you that you can go out boldly to share your faith, and it can be so simple, and it can be so easy. Paul, so often when he shares his faith, it is the simple, I once was blind, but now, by the grace of Jesus, I see. He's not telling some story about the history of Christianity, like throughout time, Christians sought after Jesus and drew near to him, and he was faithful to draw near to them as well. Paul says, for me, I was addicted to this. I was killing Christians for things that I didn't quite understand at the time, but Jesus appeared to me, and I put my faith in him, and now my life is being changed left and right. And we can say that at the grocery store. Hey, how's it going? Pretty good. My life used to be crazy back in the day, but Jesus is transforming my life. That is, you just shared the gospel. And Paul is saying, that is all you need, and that is all you should share with people. And if they ask more, be ready to give an answer. But that's all you need, that simple gospel, where it's just like a minute. Most people say you should be able to share the gospel in a minute, and it should be personal, and it will be powerful if you're able to do that, to just say, yeah, I used to roll with those guys. I used to hang out that way. I used to do things like that, but Jesus came to save me, and I believe it, and now my life's being transformed. That's genuine, and it's powerful, and it's what the world needs. And then, to those of you who have not yet believed in the simple gospel, if you've only heard these complex things, these things that are hard to wrap your mind around, and you're saying, I can't put my faith in Jesus because I can't grasp eternity. I can't put my faith in Jesus because I don't get how he can be Father, Son, Holy Spirit, 3-in-1, 24/7, talking with himself, but also separate altogether at the same time. Be at ease, because if you can understand that Jesus came to save you from the sin that you deserved a punishment for, if you put your faith in him, he will deliver you. No matter what you can't understand, no matter what you can't grasp, Jesus will save you. And so I encourage you, put your faith in him. If your faith has only been in the gospel that men have shared, that humans have shared, the complexity and the intelligence of it, ask yourself, have you believed in the intelligence of man, or have you actually put your faith in God? Have you been wooed by the power of the Holy Spirit? I think that's an important thing for all of us to ask ourselves, you know, I think checking up on our faith is not a weak thing. It's an important thing to do, to say, am I really saved? Have I really submitted my life? We can never ask ourselves that enough, because we're always growing more. Our understanding is always changing. And so, I mean, if eternity were at hand, which it is, I would be checking up wait, am I saved? Yeah, of course. And it's an important thing. Take it seriously, you know? So, that's what we'll take with us. The gospel, let it stand on its own. Let it be, you know, the Mona Lisa is a tiny, tiny painting that sits on a museum wall that is huge, and it is super duper plain and white. If that painting weren't there, that room would be so boring. But that boring, simple room is so important, and it's so powerful to really all of modern history because of that tiny little painting of that woman's face that is in there. And that is how the gospel needs to be shared as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your gospel is powerful on its own, Lord, and that we don't need to be high in intelligence. We don't need to be super brave and super courageous and strong and super important to society to make the gospel matter, Lord. If we can just share the gospel in a simple minute message, Lord, you've told us that it is going to be powerful, that it is going to be impactful. So teach us how to really relax, Lord, how to allow the gospel to stand on its own, Lord. No matter how excited we are about it or how important it is to our lives individually, help us to allow it to stand on its own, to be its own power, Lord. And we pray that you would teach us how to share the gospel like Paul did. Teach us how to share the gospel the way you want us to. We love you so much, Lord, and as we go out into our weekdays, Lord, as we go to school and to study and to sports and to music classes and whatever else we're involved in, Lord, just be in everything that we do, Lord. Be in all of our interactions with our families, our brothers and sisters, and help us to honor you in everything we say and in everything that we do, Lord. That is our desire, and we pray that that desire would continue to grow in our lives each and every day. We love you so much, and we pray all this in your name. And all of God's people said, amen.